When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode contains distressing themes and descriptions of violence. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener caution is advised. Easter weekend 1998. An 18-year-old goes missing on the way to see a relative in Leeds. Diagnosed with schizophrenia, she was approximately 14 times more likely to become a victim of violent crime. The race was on to find the vulnerable young woman, but no one could be prepared for what they saw when they found her. Welcome to Season 8, Episode 16 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. Eighteen-year-old Angela Pearce lived on Skelton Terrace in East End Park, an estate in the inner city of Leeds, West Yorkshire. It's just over half an hour's walk or a 15-minute bus ride from the Leeds Corn Exchange. Skelton Terrace is predominantly lined with red brick terraced houses. No homes seem to stand out behind the bricked-off front gardens, but unlike the properties, Angela Pearce felt she did not fit in. She lived with her mother Irene and her sister Nicola, who was 2 years her junior. Angela and Nicola's father Stephen had long separated from their mother. He had remarried, but the former couple still prioritised their girls above all else. Angela passed the time by shopping for clothes and jewellery. She was particularly fond of gold bracelets. Her teenage years had been extremely difficult. Relentless bullying was a regular occurrence, and she had something more to contend with. Angela was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Unfortunately, if she did not take her medication as prescribed, the symptoms of Angela's health condition would worsen, making her vulnerable, especially when out alone. In April 1998, Angela was teetering on the brink of a mental health crisis, which prompted arrangements for her hospitalisation. On the 9th of that month, she visited her boyfriend Danny Cunningham, who lived close to the centre of Leeds. The couple had known each other since their early teens. They started dating, but being so young, they went their separate ways for a while before getting back together. That day, Angela did not stay at Danny's for long. At about 2 p.m., she said she had to leave because she was due to meet a family member in Leeds city centre. However, Angela never met up with a relative, never returned home. By nightfall, her mother was growing concerned when Angela failed to show up. Irene's unease was amplified by her daughter's recent health issues. The following day, Stephen and Irene were proactive, not only reporting their eldest daughter missing, but Angela's parents wasted no time producing missing person posters. Flyers were distributed to local businesses and stuck on streetlights. To broaden the search, Angela's parents tirelessly went door to door in the local area, personally handing out leaflets to homeowners, hoping that someone had seen their daughter. It was particularly cold that Easter weekend. There was even some snowfall. Angela Pierce had not come home, and it seemed unlikely that she had been outside fending for herself in the cold weather. The days passed with no word on the missing teenager, until 2 weeks later when personnel stationed at Millgarth Police Station in Leeds had an unexpected visitor. On the quiet afternoon of Friday, April 24th, a taxi driver approached the front desk with information about a possible murder. At this juncture, there was no evidence, just a conversation with a client in his car. The taxi driver relayed a discussion he had with a local man he was familiar with. The potential witness claimed that during the journey, a man named Mark Frankham told him that Angela Pierce was dead. He elaborated by saying that Angela had been robbed, murdered, and then buried in a disused cemetery. Familiar with the local area and many of its inhabitants, the taxi driver knew Angela was missing. He also had a connection to Angela's boyfriend. Maybe there was some weight to what his passenger had told him. After dropping off Frankham, the driver rushed to a police station to inform the authorities. The potential witness did not want to divulge his name or contact details, so the only information the driver provided was an unsettling story. That said, the inquiry was not going anywhere, and this was a plausible lead. Coincidentally, there was an abandoned cemetery in the Mabgate area of Leeds, a mere 200 yards from the police station. Officers decided to visit the location, scanning the area for anything unusual. Amongst a patch of grass, there were signs the earth had recently been disturbed. Suspicious in size, the officers decided to excavate the area. A mere 8 inches under the soil, they found a body. The young woman's remains were in a terrible condition. She was unrecognizable. Her face displayed signs of severe swelling and numerous cuts and bruises. Even her hair had been singed, and it appeared as though it had been haphazardly chopped off. A belt was tightly wound around her neck. It was clear from the outset this young woman had suffered greatly before her untimely death. Considering the condition of the body and signs of foul play, specialists were needed, including a home office pathologist and a forensic archaeologist. Sadly, it was detailed in the pathologist's assessment that the young woman had not died quickly. It was reported she had suffered a beating prior to death. There were multiple injuries to the body. It was a protracted beating. Once the body was carefully removed from the shallow grave, Investigators combed the area for crucial evidence. Meanwhile, other officers had the heartbreaking task of informing Angela Pierce's parents that a body had been discovered. That night, Irene told reporters, "I can't take it in. She was such a friendly person. We held out hope that she would be all right. When there were no sightings, we feared the worst." The pathologist's findings revealed a tally of 48 distinct injuries to the head, torso, and limbs. Angela had suffered fractures to her hands and ribs, in addition to substantial blood loss. Her rib cage had been separated from the chest wall, and the evidence on her skin pointed to the presence of cigarette burns. Her hair had been subjected to both cutting and burning. Further examination unveiled injuries around Angela's neck, indicating pressure had been applied. The extensive bruising could have compromised the proper functioning of her heart due to internal bleeding into soft tissues. That found within her blood vessels indicated tissue damage, potentially leading to severe respiratory distress and oxygen deprivation to the brain. The pathologist noted there was no evidence of sexual assault. Angela's exact cause of death could not be determined due to the multitude of injuries. The pathologist suggested that it could have been one of the factors, a combination of several, or even the cumulative effect of all the injuries. He also estimated that Angela had been dead for between 10 to 14 days. She had been killed elsewhere, and then her body disposed of in the shallow grave. The discovery of Angela Pierce's body marked a swift transition from a missing person inquiry to a murder investigation. The pivotal information provided by the anonymous witness at the police station had led them to Angela's remains, compelling officers to pursue the source of this information, 22-year-old Mark Frankham. The young man was not that hard to find. Frankham was at his friend's flat on Cherry Court in Mapgate. The council property was rented by 19-year-old Claire Lateef, the sister of Frankham's 17-year-old girlfriend Mina Lateef. Frankham and the Lateef sisters, along with two other friends, 17-year-old Christopher Bevis and 16-year-old Nolene Harker, had been using the flat as a makeshift drug den. Just one day after Angela's body had been discovered, police officers swarmed the property. As they arrived, the five suspects had returned home from an aborted holiday in Wales, having failed to reach the free accommodation they set out for. Mark Frankham was promptly apprehended and transported to the police station for questioning. During his interrogation, Frankham admitted to assisting in the disposal of Angela's body, but vehemently denied any involvement in her murder. Simultaneously, as the police pressed forward with their investigation, they encountered an 18-year-old named Andrew Gregory, whose revelations would significantly impact the case. Gregory disclosed to investigators that Angela had been lured to the high-rise council flat with the intent to take her gold jewellery and anything else of worth that the teenager had in her possession. However, the gang consisting of Mark Frankham, Claire and Mina Lateef, Christopher Bevis and Nolene Harker collectively decided that was not enough, and Angela Pierce could not leave the flat alive. Angela Pierce was known to Claire Lateef. After Angela and her boyfriend Danny had broken up after dating at 15, Danny began a relationship with Latif. However, when Danny and Angela rekindled their relationship, it did not sit well with Danny's previous girlfriend. Latif was also aware of Angela's mental health challenges and her passion for jewellery. With this knowledge sitting at the forefront of their minds, Claire Latif and her four associates believed Angela would be vulnerable, and they could steal her belongings, selling them for a profit. When the gang spotted Angela on the street on April 9th, they invited her to Claire Latif's flat on Cherry Court. They presented the gathering as a casual get-together, showing Angela their best friendly faces, assuring her she was welcome to join them. Having a peer group wanting to spend time with her would have appealed to Angela, as she had such a hard time being bullied at school. It was also a factor that would have made her even more susceptible to being influenced. Angela had not taken her medication that day, which meant she would have been confused and easily led. She agreed to go with them, and on the way everything seemed fine. When they reached the flat, she was initially welcomed. The group sat in the living room drinking cider, but it was not long before the atmosphere shifted from light-hearted to aggressive. Things got out of control and fast. Eileen Harker brutally assaulted Angela by striking her in the face and forcibly removing her rings. Angela had £95 in cash in her purse and wore her favourite gold bracelets. Both the money and the jewellery were stolen. The gang took any items of worth, but they had no intention of letting the 18-year-old leave. Harker showed no mercy as she subjected Angela to an onslaught of violence. The 16-year-old repeatedly struck Angela's face with an electric iron. The group then surrounded Harker. They were not disgusted with what they saw, but instead they celebrated, callously mocking and berating Angela. Claire Latif decided to join in, delivering a forceful kick to Angela's head that caused swelling so severe Angela could not see. In an unrelated matter that same day, as the torment unfolded, two police officers paid an unexpected visit to the flat. They were entirely unaware of Angela's presence inside and never entered the property. Over the course of that Good Friday weekend, a friend of the gang, 18-year-old Andrew Gregory, made an appearance at the flat. Upon entering the property, he was taken aback by the appalling condition Angela was in. She was someone he had never met previously. That afternoon, he witnessed Nolene Harker pummeling Angela's face with closed fists. Continually upping the ante, the gang were not bothered who saw what they were doing, perhaps attempting to outdo or impress one another. Reflecting on what he had seen, Gregory later said, "I walked out. When I got back, there was blood on the chair, on Harker's hand, and on the blanket." At one point, Angela begged the gang for water. It initially appeared that the request had softened Harker as she entered the kitchen. Moments later, she returned to the living room, offering Angela a glass of what appeared to be clear liquid. However, upon taking a sip, Angela recoiled and spat out what she had been given, realizing that the glass did not contain water, but disinfectant which scorched her throat. Her captors were not done. Angela was forced behind the sofa where Harker launched a series of relentless kicks to Angela's head and body. Arca then reached for a snooker cue, striking the victim as hard as she could. Mark Frankham and Claire Lateef followed suit, picking up the cue and taking turns to hit Angela over and over again. The torture was still not finished. Nolene Harker and Claire Lateef then began stubbing out cigarettes on Angela's bare skin while the rest of the gang erupted into laughter. On Easter Sunday, the horrifying violence persisted within the confines of the flat. Harker seized a can of hairspray from one of the bedrooms and sprayed it on Angela's blonde hair. She then ignited the spray, producing a makeshift flamethrower. Angela's hair was engulfed in flames. The group once again burst out laughing. Feeling emboldened by the reaction, Mark Frankham then forcibly raised Angela to her feet, only to brutally assault her, sending her crashing to the floor. As Angela was crumpled up in agony, Frankham urinated on her. It was hard to fathom why five people were all willing to play a part in the sustained torment and torture of another person. However, there did not seem to be a limit to how far the gang were willing to go. Angela pleaded with them to stop. They were aware enough to realize that her screams and cries would alert the neighbors, so the radio volume was turned up to drown out her pleas. After they tired of the day's torment, Angela was bundled up and confined to a kitchen cupboard. The following day, Nolene Harker and sisters Claire and Mina Lateef went into the kitchen. Angela was curled up in a ball, her face and body marred by severe wounds, her scalp bearing scars from the fire. The three young women approached Angela, brandishing a pair of scissors and haphazardly shearing off what remained of her hair. Angela's deteriorating condition compelled the five to make a chilling decision, perhaps a choice they individually considered as the torture began. Angela could not leave the flat, at least not alive. The gang feared that she would report what they had done to her, and they would all be charged with assault or worse. After enduring 6 days of horrific torment, Nolene Harker placed a plastic bag over Angela's head and secured a belt around her neck, effectively cutting off her air supply. Angela was then forced back into a kitchen cupboard which was locked behind her, leaving Angela to face a dark and solitary death in unsurmountable pain. Andrew Gregory returned to the flat on Cherry Court. He had not informed anyone of what he had witnessed at the property days earlier. He arrived in the company of Christopher Bevis. They had been on an excursion searching for a car to steal. Mark Frankham informed the pair that Angela was dead. He directed them to the cupboard, where Angela's lifeless body was propped up against the wall. Later, Gregory grimly noted, "It smelled awful." The group convened in the living room to discuss what to do with Angela's body. It was unanimously decided that she needed to be buried. This awful deed was another incident in a long line of horrors as Mina Lateef celebrated her birthday. Consequently, the males of the group, Andrew Gregory, Christopher Bevis, and Mark Frankham, ventured out in the dead of night carrying a spade. They stumbled upon a grassy area within a disused cemetery opposite a pub and commenced digging a makeshift grave. It took a while. the ground was hardened by the cold weather. Once the hole appeared to be of sufficient size to accommodate Angela's remains, they returned to the flat. Angela's body was wrapped in a blanket and transported to the newly dug grave. However, the remains did not fit within the confines of the hole they had prepared, showing Angela as much compassion in death as they did in life. Mark Frankham resorted to stamping on Angela's legs until her body was forcibly wedged into the makeshift grave. On April 25th, Mark Frankham, Claire Lateef, Mina Lateef, Christopher Bevis and Nolene Harker were taken into custody in connection with Angela Pierce's murder. Following their arrests, they all underwent individual interrogations. During their interviews, sisters Claire and Mina Lateef remained silent, offering no responses to the questions posed. In contrast, Christopher Bevis initially denied any knowledge of the events, but later confessed to being present in the flat over the course of the six-day ordeal. He did, however, distance himself from any involvement in the acts of torture and murder. When Nolene Harker was interviewed, the police noticed she was wearing one of Angela's necklaces. When confronted, Harker claimed she had no idea where it came from and denied she had ever seen Angela at the flat. She was unaware that Andrew Gregory had already identified her as the primary aggressor in the torture and murder. Gregory had agreed to cooperate with the police under the assurance that he would not face prosecution. In the wake of their arrests, the police obtained some information from Felicity Chessman Ward, who was in a cell next to the Lateef sisters. According to Felicity, Claire and Mina Lateef had told her they were going to blame the entire thing on Nolene Harker. They told Felicity that if Harker was deemed responsible, then they would only be charged with the assault. On May 1st, Mark Frankham, Claire and Mina Lateef, Christopher Bevis and Nolene Harker appeared in court together, where they were all charged with Angela Pierce's murder. Harker was additionally charged with theft in relation to Angela's jewellery.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets.
In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All five suspects had experienced life within care homes, with Nolene Harker emerging from a particularly harrowing background marked by violence and sexual abuse inflicted by her brother. Claire Lateef's flat served as a makeshift haven for most of the gang, with other teenagers periodically streaming in and out, often finding a place to crash on the sofa or huddle on the floor. If they had a successful day of shoplifting, the spoils were diverted towards buying drugs. Their days a constant cycle. Following the charges, all five suspects pleaded not guilty to Angela Pierce's murder and they were set for trial. On April 22, 1999, the murder trial commenced. During opening statements, Malcolm Swift, QC, conveyed to the jury the gang's decision to target Angela Pierce. The prosecutor stated, "The females knew Angela was not normal and decided to take her to their flat to get her drunk and abuse her." Swift then presented the details surrounding Angela's murder, revealing that she had endured cruel and systematic torture, ultimately succumbing to fatal beatings over the course of six agonizing days. The prosecutor argued, "Each defendant played a part in these attacks. Their ferocity and persistence were such that each defendant must have formed the view that Angela could not be allowed to leave Cherry Court alive." The prosecution meticulously detailed each and every injury inflicted upon Angela, recounting how Nolene Harker had callously set her hair on fire. Swift added, "Everyone laughed, so she did it again." The first witness to take the stand was Andrew Gregory, who provided a harrowing account of the torment inflicted by the gang. He disclosed that after the Easter weekend, the gang discussed disposing of Angela's body somewhere away from the flat. Gregory testified, "I went out with Bevis to look for a car to steal, and when I returned, Mark told me she was dead." The witness went on to describe the process of disposing of Angela's body, admitting his involvement and explaining the ground was hard with snow. It took hours just to dig a shallow grave. During his time on the stand, Gregory revealed that he had reached an agreement with the authorities where he would not face prosecution for his role in the crimes in exchange for providing a witness statement to the police. Under questioning from Claire Lateef's defense counsel, Roger Keane QC suggested Gregory was shifting the blame onto others when he was equally culpable. Gregory firmly responded, "All they want is the truth." When asked about the torture and torment, Gregory confirmed that no one stepped in to stop what was happening, when he said, "Nobody did out." Next to testify was Felicity Chessman Ward. She had been in a prison cell next to the Lateef sisters while they were on remand. While Andrew Gregory had previously stated that Nolene Harker had placed the plastic bag over Angela's head, Felicity informed the court that she had been told it was actually Mark Frankham who had done so. Jurors were also presented with evidence indicating traces of Angela's blood and hair had been found in the flat, as well as on clothing belonging to the defendants. The prosecution contended that all five defendants were equally responsible, asserting that the murder constituted a joint enterprise. Each of the accused sought to downplay their involvement in the murder, even claiming they had attempted to steal a car in order to provide transportation so Angela could get back home. However, the prosecution argued that by this point, Angela was already on the brink of death, if not already dead. It was asserted that the real reason for the car theft was to facilitate the transport of Angela's body to the prepared grave. As the trial neared its conclusion, the judge instructed the jury that they could find all five defendants guilty under the principle of joint enterprise. However, if they believed that Nolene Harker had, quote, acted beyond the scope of anything either expressly or impliedly agreed upon when she applied pressure to Angela's face and neck, jurors had the option to find Harker guilty while acquitting the other four defendants. The trial lasted 5 weeks. As the verdicts were delivered, none of the accused displayed any hint of emotion. Nolene Harker was found guilty of murder, but had admitted to a charge of false imprisonment during the trial. Mark Frankham, Claire and Mina Lateef, and Christopher Bevis were also convicted of Angela Pierce's murder and false imprisonment. Furthermore, the jury found Claire Lateef and Nolene Harker guilty of robbing Angela of her jewellery. The judge described the gang as totally evil and characterised the killing as an exceptional case of cold-blooded murder. Mrs. Justice Steele went on to state that the legal proceedings were the most harrowing she had presided over during her time as a judge. Addressing the defendant, she said, "Nobody who has sat in court and heard the evidence can have failed to have been sickened by the catalogue of cruelty and humiliation that Angela Pierce suffered at your hands. You selected her so you could have some fun with her. She was also selected because she had a quantity of jewellery. Your motives were cruelty and greed." Claire Lateef and Mark Frankham each received a life sentence. During this period, judges did not determine minimum sentences. Instead, a recommendation was forwarded to the Home Secretary. They would ultimately decide how long the killers would spend behind bars, a term that was often not reported. Mina Lateef, Christopher Bevis, and Nolene Harker were detained at Her Majesty's pleasure, given their age at the time of the murder. They were all under 18. Nolene Harker was additionally sentenced to 10 years for false imprisonment, while Mark Frankham, Mina Lateef and Christopher Bevis received 7-year sentences. Claire Lateef received an additional 5 years for the same charge. All sentences were to run concurrently. As they were escorted out of the courtroom, the public gallery erupted with cries of "murderers" and "rot in hell." Outside of court, Angela's mother Irene spoke with the press. She said, "I cannot believe such evil exists in the world. The verdict would never have been enough, as I believe it should be a life for a life. I will live the rest of my lifetime knowing they still have a life." in a tragic twist of fate. While distributing flyers, Angela's parents, Irene and Stephen, had knocked on doors just two streets away from where Angela was being held. Irene lamented, "Nothing can make me forget that as I was knocking on doors, she was being tortured and probably crying out for me. I can hear her now telling her killers, 'My mum will be looking for me. She will be looking.'" In 2000, all five defendants lodged appeals against their convictions. Except for Nolene Harker, whose appeal hinged on the success of the others, lead counsel James Stewart QC represented the remaining four appellants. The barrister contended that the inclusion of Felicity Chessman Ward's testimony before the jury was inappropriate. He asserted that it was prudent to exercise caution when dealing with witness evidence referred to as cell confessions. James Stewart QC argued that such testimony should be approached with a healthy degree of skepticism. The defense requested further scrutiny of Felicity as a witness and disclosed information which they argued cast doubt on her credibility. They uncovered that her GCSE certificates displayed at her mother's residence were falsified, and she had filed a rape complaint that she later withdrew when her account of the incident was described as extremely unreliable. The appeals were rejected. Nolene Harker made a subsequent appeal against her sentence in 2010, in which her counsel contended that she had made remarkable and unforeseen progress while serving her sentence. He highlighted her personal growth and argued that Harker's continued incarceration might seriously prejudice her well-being. The appeal referenced the judge's remarks, which noted the absence of remorse from any of the defendants for their actions. According to her counsel, Nolene Harker had developed a psychological defense mechanism stemming from the violence within her family and the sexual abuse inflicted by a relative. Harker's barrister argued that this defense mechanism manifested as an inability to display appropriate remorse or emotion. This appeal was also denied. So where are we now? In 2014, Angela Pierce's family faced another tragedy when her 32-year-old sister Nicola passed away. The pain of Angela's brutal murder had never truly left her. The following year, the media reported that Claire Lateef had established a long-distance friendship with the notorious serial killer Rose West. Alongside her husband Fred, Rose had inflicted unspeakable horrors upon young women, including her own daughter, between the early 70s and late 80s. Claire Lateef and Rose West had been exchanging letters from their prison cells frequently, at least once a week. According to an insider, their correspondence delved into mundane topics, including updates on their life in prison. They even shared recipes cut from magazines, both having access to kitchen facilities, and Rose received knitting patterns due to her passion for needlework. Around the 20th anniversary of Angela's murder, her mother Irene spoke with the Yorkshire Evening Post. She shed light on the enduring impact of losing her daughter, emphasising that not a single day went by without Angela being on her mind. Irene also revealed that Mina Lateef, Christopher Bevis and Nolene Harker had been released, while Claire Lateef and Mark Frankham were anticipated to transfer to an open prison. Through tears, Irene said, "Our family are still traumatized and angry about the scum who tortured Angela to death, all for her jewelry and their own gratification." Thank you for listening, and special thanks to our patrons for their support. For more information on this episode, please see the show notes or visit our website, theywalkamonguspodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.